Debbie Bogle joins us today. Debbie is in charge of the United Way. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
Is your official title the executive director?
My official title is president.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, how remarkable. I've never been the president of anything.
It's exactly the same thing as being the executive director. No difference.
Well, that's quite remarkable.
Just a title. And I think more nonprofits are going to president rather than executive director.
And how long have you been in this role now?
Wow. Since 2012.
I was thinking it had to be 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. It's been a while. And, but it's still, you know, it's still different every day. And I still love it.
How has the United Way indicator changed in those years?
You know, we've changed a great deal. One of the things that we recognized, myself and my community impact director, our first year in as president and as director of community impact, was that we needed to make sure that what we're doing aligns with the community, and making sure that we are accountable as a United Way to the community on changing the community, not just funding agencies, not just...
You need to be a change agent rather than a funding
exactly.
agent.
Exactly. And, you know, because it's not good enough just to give money to people.
Right.
You know, we want to see results. And so we spent a good 5-6 years. We weren't really concerned with the time frame. We wanted to make sure that what we were doing made sense and was right. So we spent quite a bit of time working with the community and making sure that our new framework fit with what our community needs, not, you know, not just a, you know, a rubber stamp type thing, and really working with every agency, subject matter experts, community leaders, to identify what are the needs specific to our community. In a lot of communities, it's going to be, you know, some of the same things, but what does it look like in our community, and what are best practices, and what do you see as an agency, as a community leader, what do you know will make a difference.
How did getting a new building change that dynamic, do you think?
You know, one of the things, well, it saved us a lot of money.
Right.
And so, you know, we were paying, you know, over $30,000 a year for a lease.
Right.
And so that was one of the things that now we don't have to do that. We can put that money back into the community. That can fund an entire program.
Plus a new building, while the building itself wasn't new, I mean, having it fully
exactly.
retro, I don't know when that building was built, but regardless, that was an apartment building at one point.
Yes, it was. It was a two-story apartment building.
Yes, and you know, our original, the church that I came to, there's the building right beside
right next door, yes.
Right next door. So I was pretty familiar with that apartment. It was a problem place, is
yes.
a good way to put it. But probably moving, I'm aware of this, having done it, moving into new facilities that are renovated, that are designed specifically for the present culture versus 100 years ago or even 15 years ago.
Exactly.
That renovation changes your mindset and helps you, just the process of what do we need is, and going through the process of figuring that out is very helpful.
It makes you take a really good look at your organization and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, it was a really awesome thing that Howard G. Buffett Foundation paid for the building and the renovation, and so we're so appreciative of that.
What was the timeline process? I mean, when you figure we're going to do this to when you moved in, was that a year and a half, 2 years?
It was about a year and a half. So right. Our lease was up where we were at, and we weren't being kicked out, but we were told that if you wanted to move, we could use this space.
Ah.
And so that's when we started looking at other spaces that we could lease. And I kept thinking, man, if we could just find a building and find somebody to pay for it, we would be in a much better position. And so the board agreed to do that, to start looking for a building. It took us a little while because you know, we didn't want too much space, and some spaces were too small, and it took us a while to find exactly the right space. And actually, that was one of the first buildings that I went into, and I said, no, I can't see how this would ever work for us. And later went back and really could see the vision of what it could look like and how we could really make it.
Fascinating. What if you get a decent architect or good architect and some good builders around you, how that you can say, well, reimagine the space completely
Exactly.
They're trained and they just have a different eye to make it happen.
Yes. And when I originally, you know, this is just, I'm sure this happens all the time, but when I originally went in there, it was in February and it was below zero out. There was, you know, the building was cold and dirty. And, you know, I was just like, I didn't even want to go in there because I'm like, it's cold. Like, let's get out of here. I don't even want to look around. Went back in the spring and was like, oh, you know, walked around, you know, had a little bit of different attitude. Man, I don't like to be cold, apparently. I mean, yeah. It changes my attitude. So went back in the spring and I was like, okay, it was an empty slate. I mean, there were no walls there. So really, we got to design it how we needed it
based
to be.
Based on the needs of the community.
Yes. And so it's been a great space for our community impact process and to have volunteers in there and to have our own space and other organizations use our conference room. So it's been just a really great experience and we're very proud of our building.
Cool. Well, we'll carry on with the conversation in just a minute. Debbie Bogle is joining us. She's the president, otherwise known as the executive director, the chief cook and bottle washer of the United Way here in the city. And we'll find out what they're up to in the next few months. But in the meanwhile, let's take the Marquee Coffee Break, if you don't mind, Mr. Nick Smith. And this is the Marquee Coffee Break. Marquee Coffee has been fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for 30 years. It's the official choice of drink for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. And the magic is in their beans.
Well, hello again, Central Illinois. Joe Antle of the Crown Toyota Family Experience. You know, we work hard to ensure that you and everyone who shops us gets the incredible Crown Toyota family buying and ownership experience. Because we know that the Toyota driver demands just a little more. That's why they chose Toyota in the first place. And then when they want to take their decision to the next level, they choose the Crown Toyota Family Experience. It's that excellent experience that has given us a tremendous growth in sales and added the amazing number of new family members that we're experiencing. No matter what model, package, color, chances are we've got it at Crown Toyota. If not, with our national locating app, we'll have it here for you in no time. Plus, we have a plethora of new trade-ins, giving us an exceptional selection of pre-owned vehicles of most every make. And again, if we don't have exactly what you're searching for, we also have a national pre-owned locating program. We can usually get it. The Crown Toyota Family Experience. Witness it today at Pershing and Main in Decatur or 24/7 at crowntoyotafamily.com. And stay tuned for more.
Decatur Memorial Hospital is now part of Memorial Health System. Now the same great care DMH has delivered for more than 100 years is getting even better. Thanks to the support of Memorial, a regional healthcare leader. Because you deserve innovative, nationally recognized care and prevention right here in Decatur and Central Illinois. Memorial Health System and Decatur Memorial Hospital, together for you. Learn more at dmhcares.com.
Insulated garage doors offer energy savings and style. Is your garage door showing its age? Are you worried it won't open? Visit midstateohd.com and learn how adding a new garage door can save you money by helping to lower your home energy consumption and cost. Whether you want to replace a garage door, build a new home, or just need a few repairs, Midstate Overhead Doors is there for you, offering a wide selection of makes and models.
Doors more people come home to Midstate Overhead Doors.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. It's 44, almost 45 minutes after the hour. I'm glad you're here. Joining me in the studio today, Debbie Bogle. She is in charge, the president of the United Way here in town. And Debbie, before we went to a break there, you were mentioning we were chatting about the new building and how has that impacted you and who, basically the profile of the United Way Decatur is different than it was in years past. Who are you now, do you think?
Yes. So United Way started out as fundraisers. I mean, it's a great way to get into businesses and be a part of the community in a way that you probably wouldn't if... You know, a lot of people, they don't have $100 or $50 to give to a nonprofit mm-hmm. today. They can't write that check. But if you do it a dollar a paycheck, $2 a paycheck, it makes it so easy for them to be a part of something bigger.
Right.
And so it's just a great, easy way to do that. And that's originally how United Way started out. And then over time, as everything does, it evolves. And we switched to a community impact model. maybe 20 years ago, to where, you know, it's not about investing in an agency based on how many people they serve, you know, or what their budget is or that type of thing. It was starting to become more of, well, what's happening to the people that you serve?
Right.
And what are those outcomes? And we were pretty broad on our outcomes and how we were doing that. And
so
in the past. And so what we did was we really tightened it up and went to the community and said, what outcomes do we need to see in order to reach specific goals?
So in some ways, instead of just being a fundraising endeavor, you are suddenly now a social agency yourself, helping social agencies.
Yes.
Is that a way to put it?
That is a great way to put it. What we're doing is we're connecting, we're measuring. We're, you know, a lot of agencies had said, we didn't measure before.
Right.
We didn't, nobody asked us to, and now we are. And because of that, we're getting more grants from other sources as well, because we can tell our story better. So it's not just, you know, an agency saying we serve 600 kids. Well, if I tell you that, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean a lot. You know, they're probably doing something good. And so we take it a step further and say, okay, but of those 600, what are you trying to do? Are they truant? Are they not at grade level? You know, name the issue.
Or example, could it be where we don't have to serve 600 kids in the future because we've dealt with the systemic issues back at the household?
We're starting.
That's my point. Yeah.
Yes, we're starting from before birth.
Right.
And looking at how that works and working with our partners in the community to identify what those needs are and what that looks like. And so we're a connector. We are, you know, from agencies to other agencies to businesses. We have our 2-1-1 system, you know, that is connecting community to services.
Some of our listeners may not know what 2-1-1 is.
2-1-1 is, it's fairly new here. Again, that was funded for 10 years by the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. So we're the only United Way that has secured funding for more than 1 year for 2-1-1, which is awesome. So we can really focus on making sure that the system is better and working to make sure it's doing what we need it to do.
What does 2-1-1 do?
2-1-1 is kind of like 911, only for social service. So if you have any need, maybe you don't even know what you need, but you have an issue, you can call this number. Maybe you have a parent who she's not quite ready to be in a nursing home, but she needs some things at home. You don't know who to call. You don't know what to do for. Call 2-1-1, tell them what the issues are, and they will help you find the services that you need in order to help your parent stay in the home. And so it could be anything. We've had people call for diapers. We've had people call. We've had doctors call, sheriff's department call, nurses, emergency room. We've had kids call. So really it's for anybody. It can be, you know, anybody can call for yourself or somebody you know and say, there's this issue. We don't know where to go. Who do we call? So instead of calling agency A and they say, well, we don't really do that, you might try this agency.
Right.
You call that agency. Most people aren't going to go past maybe the first agency, but for sure the second agency,
right,
to find that service. So we want to make sure people have access to the services that they need in order to then be off of the services that were needed. And so we feel like, ourselves included, every agency should have the frame of mind, almost every agency, that we should be working ourselves out of a job. We want to see less clients. And when we start seeing that, we know that things are working. And
namely, we don't have 600 kids in our program anymore. We're down
exactly,
to 200.
Exactly. Except for, you know, there's things like Boy Scouts.
Yeah, of course.
Character building and, you know, values.
But when it's an issue where it's a,
yes,
where you're dealing with a problem or a crisis.
Yes.
We want less crises.
Exactly. And so that's really what we're focused on. We believe that everybody in our community should have the ability to be self-sufficient. And for some people, that's a huge step to be completely self-sufficient. And what we mean by that is they're not on government services and they're not using social services. And, you know, and some people may be in the system using everything and some may just be using one service. Maybe it's they just have a medical card. Well, what's that next step that as a community we can help so that they need, you know, a full-time job so that they can get that insurance? You know, what's the issue and how can we find solutions to that?
All right, we're going to come back, take a break here, learn a little bit about the weather from Nick, and then we'll see how this is playing out in some individual lives. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY.
All right. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 30 and wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 20 as well. For Friday, it's going to have a bit of snow in the afternoon. Less than a half an inch is possible. And the wind gusts could get as high as 28 miles per hour and a high only reaching 33. For Saturday, we've got a 50-50 chance of rain early. It'll be cloudy and cold with wind gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is just holding at 17 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:51.
Over time, soil pressure against a basement foundation wall and soil expansion from periods of being wet and frozen can cause basement walls to crack and bow in. Don't wait until it's too late to make repairs. Protect your family and your home's investment. Get a free estimate from Woods Basement Systems, this area's highest rated, most reviewed basement experts. Call toll-free 866-851-5061 or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. That's woodsbasementsystems.com.
I'm ready to buy a new house. Is there a single website that lists all realtor open houses this weekend?
I need to sell my home fast. Where can I find an agent with access to high-quality video footage, skilled photography work, and proven marketing strategy?
I'm looking for a home close to my parents' house. Is there a way to search for listings by community?
You asked, we answered. Welcome to the new BrinkOtter.com.
Find your way home. BrinkOtter.com.
Join Milliken University on Tuesday, January 28th for the 2020 James W. Moore Lecture, Unwanted Spy, The Persecution of an American Whistleblower, featuring Milliken alum Jeffrey Sterling. Sterling, author, lawyer, and former CIA analyst, will discuss his fight for justice in the face of racial discrimination, federal espionage charges, and more than 2 years of imprisonment. Hear how Sterling's whistleblowing on the Iran task force ties into today's global affairs on January 28th in Milliken's Kuiper Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
Behind every great movement, there's a bright idea. Someone has a great idea. They tell others and it grows. The bright idea behind our community bank is that we keep the money working in the local area, where it can help other local businesses and families grow. Scott State Bank. Together we grow. Member FDIC. Customer focused, community driven, committed to you since 1887.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Look around your world, pretty baby. Is it everything you hoped it'd be? The wrong guy, the wrong situation, the right time, the wrong...
Welcome back, friends. Coming down to the wire here. Nick, so far we didn't crash and burn.
Yeah, I don't... We might have a few scratches on the fender, but we're still cruising down the road. I'm not even sure we knew we made those scratches.
We didn't see it. Didn't feel a thing at all. Mm-mm. Didn't feel a thing. Debbie Bogle, the president of the United Way for, is it Decatur or is it for Macon County? Is it for?
It's Decatur and Mid-Illinois, so we cover five counties.
Yep,
so,
I knew that.
Yes, we are in Macon, Moultrie, DeWitt, Piatt, and Shelby counties.
Tell me about how you encourage generosity. Because in the lives of the people who are going to give, and perhaps even in the lives of the people who are going to receive. Because in my estimation, if I could be the preacher for just a minute, a mark of a healthy person, and if you will, a good person, is a spirit of generosity.
Exactly.
How does the United Way foster that in the lives of the people you guys come in contact with?
So one of the things that we get to go and do presentations at businesses all over town. And it's really awesome to be able to talk about what's happening in our community. And, you know, we're a low pressure. We really pride ourselves on, we want to tell people what's happening. We don't ask for money. We don't ask for investment. We have options if you would like to, but we believe giving is a personal choice. Mm-hmm. We're offering an option for that. But we find once we tell the story and once we show what's really happening in our community, you know, what the issues are, but then how they're really being solved, people get it and they want to be a part of that.
Yeah, people, I mean, there's two sides to humanity. There's the side of humanity that all of us have that's really ugly and rude and unkind. We all have that buried somewhere within us. You see it in some people more easily than others. But even those who you see it a lot, there are portions of our personality and character that we go, man, I want to be a person of generosity. I want to be a person of gifts. I want to live, regardless of how much income I have or what resources I have, I want to live on that side.
Exactly.
And that's the challenge always, is to figure out how to let that come out as each of us as individuals, and then how to, if you will, encourage it in other people.
And that's what I was talking about, how, you know, a lot of people aren't just going to write a check today for $50, you know. A lot of us don't even have it, you know, and or that you don't have it today. It's really hard to do that. And when you give people the opportunity to do it in a way that is easy, and they're not going to see a big chunk that day come out of their wallet, it gives them that opportunity to be a part of something bigger in a way that, you know, their friends, their neighbors, their coworkers are doing it as well. And when you take an organization, you know, like Caterpillar and or Tate and Lyle, and, you know, and you tell them, most of the people here are giving a dollar paycheck.
Right.
But in the end, this is how much you raised as an organization. And with the, you know, $300,000 at Caterpillar, this is how you were able to impact the community.
How much are you trying to raise each year?
So we don't really have a goal, you know, in the day when it was, you know, you had the thermometer in the park,
right,
and,
right,
you know, that type of thing, because we really do want to focus on the outcomes. And because if I tell you that we raised $1.6 million, that just means we raised money.
Right.
It doesn't really tell you the whole story. And so we really moved away from that. We try to keep it at 1.6. I mean, internally, our goal is really to raise more money every year.
Right.
The ask is usually four times,
right,
you know, what we have to give. So really our goal is to raise what our community needs. But we're usually around 1.5, 1.6, depending on the climate, depending on if a business closes or moves and that type of thing. But
if people want to participate today, how do they do that?
They can give us a call at 422-8537 or go on our website at
UW Decatur. How much of the money stays locally?
All of our money stays locally. So we're our own entity. Now, I say that, but we do pay a membership fee,
right,
to use the logo, to use the name, that type of thing. But we don't have to send it away, and some of it comes back. We get
good
to keep it here.
Good. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, the morning show is coming to an end, and you could be a person of generosity even yet today.
Yes.
Call the United Way of Decatur. Get on the phone. Get online. You have a way to give online?
UWDecatur.org.
Love to see it happen. Why don't we be a generous community today? You can start it, friends. Debbie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
In the meanwhile, friends, I'll be back next week. Kevin is here in the morning. I'll catch you Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Have a great day, and let me say, God bless you. Have a great day, folks.